What did I do this weekend?
What is happening to us?
What? Like, what am I going to fucking open with? The president of Iran dying in a helicopter crash? That was fucked
oh,
up.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I totally forgot this happened already.
It happened wow. already. Like, you were anticipating it? Like, oh, man, no. That's coming up.
Yes, sorry. I've actually been living the life of Ben Affleck in the 2003 film Paycheck. Mm. I have visibility into a very narrow slice of the future and an envelope full of trinkets that tells me what's going to happen. I discovered from a fortune cookie about 5 days ago the president of Iran was about to die in a helicopter crash, and I've been sitting on that knowledge ever since.
I've discovered from a fortune cookie to defy my life. Fi as in fiat currency, as in invest in crypto.
Which one?
It didn't say. All it had was a URL. I didn't.
And you didn't
want to.
Yeah, you didn't want to click that URL for some reason.
No, I didn't go there. My fortune cookies are much less prescient. This is bullshit. I guess we've been really struggling trying to figure out an opener, and I guess that's it.
Welcome to the show.
I'm so tired. We ditch corporate life to go relax by sprinting through town constantly, working the fields until we pass out, and throwing eggs at bisexual hillbillies in Stardew Valley.
It's a storm of buzz, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Welcome to Stone Buds. This is the video game variety show where all the segments are Final Fantasy 14 jokes, and I am your host of light, Jerome Barbatsis, joined by my co-host of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello to the buds now.
You know, I've got a take for you, Jerome.
What?
Coming in with this episode with a hot take. You want to know what I think?
Yes.
I think Stardew Valley is very good.
Okay, wow. That's super hot, super spicy. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I scalded my tongue. Ooh,
call the doctor. It's too hot. Too hot of a take.
Hachi machi. All right.
Jesus Christ.
We are finishing our themed month. Another thing we do on this podcast is we pick themes for months and then play games according to the theme. It's very fun. We finishing up Farming May. We played Harvest Moon SNES Farming Simulator 22. Okay. We went back to Eorzea for Island Sanctuary, which I'm still checking up on. It's still pretty good. And today, we're finally capping off with Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley, if you're unfamiliar with at this point, which is possible, hello, welcome. Welcome to Stardew Valley. This is a farming game, of course, as per the theme. Get with the program. This is a solo dev farming game. Basically, there's a team involved. Anytime someone says solo dev is the theme, but Concerned Ape, a.k.a. Mark Branston.
That's his name. Mark Branston.
Is the creative
Eric
lead.
Barone.
Eric Barone. I was close.
Not at all.
Eric Barone is the mastermind behind Stardew Valley, a long-running farming sim game where your pixelated little avatar goes around town, harvests crops, kills little creatures, and has sex with everyone.
I mean, I guess you can do
implicit
that.
Implicit sex. And then make them forget you exist. This game's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, at some points. I will say, a thing that struck me kind of... So, I played Stardew Valley a fair amount when it first came out in, like, 2016. Mm. And then I had not really played it between now and then.
Same.
And going back to it now, for a game that has remained massively popular... Like, and this game is... massively popular. It is one of a handful of games that I can regularly like bring up with people who don't normally play games, and people know about it. This game has broken through into the mainstream, or the mainstream of like a certain sort of like type of millennial who is passingly familiar with sort of video games, even if they don't actively play them.
Especially the video games that don't want to work to make a living. Am I right?
No, but like for a game that has been around for 8 years and gotten a lot of updates, I was surprised how much the core experience both remains what was released in 2016 and also remains just being Harvest Moon and Rune Factory.
Yeah, it's not that different. When I thought we were going to play this at the end of May, I thought we were going to see more of the updates than we were. Now I'm realizing in hindsight that those updates are very additive and not as much transformative. There are some things in the more recent updates that have decided to grace us with their presence in new playthroughs that we'll get into. But I kind of want to... I guess I'll say my thoughts on the game as well. I think my first playthrough of the game, I'll start there, was also in maybe 2017. I played it on the Switch, and to this time I played it on the PC, and I would recommend playing it on PC every single time, unless you just are on the go, you know. And what
Steam Deck, baby?
Yeah, no. The problem is the switching through tools is a pain in the ass with joysticks. It's just and I hate it. Anyway, so I played and I got through about a year, and I married the love of my life at the time, Alex. Who is a total narcissist, so that's on brand. And then I just sort of left it there, and I was like, cool, I'm done with this, and those two can live in marital bliss. And I think for this playthrough, that is going to happen again.
Alex has got your eye again?
What? I don't care that much about anyone else. I barely care about Alex, to be honest.
I mean,
but he's hot.
Here's the thing. I like these NPCs generally. Like, I think especially one of the things you can feel between the original release and now is a lot of, like, just sort of, like, additional dialogue added for sort of normal interactions throughout the day or during special events.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know that I want to marry any of these folks. I don't know that I need to settle down.
Well, you do have a real fiancé, so it's hard to... I feel like if I were to get married, I would be constantly comparing my real life marriage to video game marriages.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm going to try and stay away from that landmine, but
I don't
know. Okay. But sketch us a picture. What's the name of your farm?
My farm's name, as is a tradition started by my older brother, Alex. God, there's three Alexes in this podcast now. Jesus Christ. Pick something else, boomers. Jeez. Anyway, he named our first Animal Crossing village on the GameCube Camel Toe. So that is a torch I have taken up to this day. I think it's really good. Though my New Horizons town was Whale Tail, just to be a little different. But Camel Toe, yeah. I chose the Forested Farm, which was not the new farm, I found out as I was streaming this game. Somebody said, why didn't you do the new farm? And I was like, because I don't know what the new farm is. Leave me alone. Oh no, Jerry Seinfeld's coming back.
Jerry Seinfeld cannot come back.
Don't
Jerry Seinfeld
call
needs
the
to. Jerry Seinfeld needs to get pulled off stage by one of those giant hooks right now.
Elder Maxson needs to have a meeting with Jerry Seinfeld.
Anyway, you took the wooded farm.
I took the woodland farm, which ended up being kind of a boon because
of all the wood.
Yeah, all the wood, and I got as far as the end of summer, and one day in summer there is a new 1.6 event called Green Rain. And did you get this far?
I'm in summer right now. I did not get Green Rain yet.
You might get Green Rain. It's really good if
summer's
you have a lot of trees
over.
Around. I don't know. I got Green Rain and all of the trees. There was like more trees that just sprung up out of nowhere that were all fairy-like. And then there were these beanstalks everywhere. And Demetrius was in a hazmat suit and everyone was freaking out and taking shelter in the saloon. But was great because I got a ton of wood and all the wood had moss on it.
Ooh.
So I got to make a bunch of moss soup. Yum.
A bunch of moss soup. Good
That's
for you.
That's the only recipe I know that has moss on it. Like, all right.
God, I gotta get a kitchen.
I did just get my kitchen. You have to expand your house before somebody marries you. And I'm like, well, I have my goal. You can't do that. You can't have an extra house. So, I did that forest farm focus. I really tried to focus on foraging and gift giving because fruits and flowers are a great way to make hearts with most people, and gems as well. So some of the gems in the mine count as foraging as well. So I tried to get my foraging skill up more than to like focus on making a ton of money. And I think that's paid off a little bit, but. Everyone except Alex is sitting at around 3 hearts, and Alex is at like 9.
You're so close.
I'm so close, just because I do, to this game's credit, I do remember the things Alex likes.
Yeah, I mean these look like
the character.
They're thin, but they're bold.
They're thin on the dialogue side, and they're very rigid. But their likes and dislikes, I think, are their most defining characteristics. And that's really, when improv and theater, that's, and writing in general, that's how you want to convey a lot of, that's a, the building blocks for your emotions are just, what are your characters like and dislike? Like, why are they angry or sad or mad? Because they like this thing or they dislike it. If you... If you give Evelyn, Alex's grandmother, if you give Evelyn a flower, Evelyn is off in the kitchen saying, "Oh, the sweet peas are in bloom. They're so beautiful." And then if you give her a sweet pea, she's like, "Oh, thank you. I love this. This is wonderful." And then if you give her husband one, he's like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
He's so cranky. He hates summer. He hates summer. He hates summer so much.
And the same deal with Abigail, who is notorious for eating rocks, because anytime you give her a mineral, she's like, "Thanks. How did you know I was hungry?" And her favorite thing in the entire game is an amethyst, which is the color of her hair, purple. So I thought, hey, what if I gave her a grape? She likes eating things that are purple. And she's like, "This is disgusting. Why did you think I would like this?"
This is why my fiance hates the relationship system in this game. She gets so distressed whenever she gives something to someone and they hate it.
I'm sorry. I think Penny also hates grapes too. And Penny is Pam's daughter. So Pam likes fruit. Then I turn around and give Penny a grape. She's like, "I'm really sorry, but I hate this." It's like, it's just a grape. What do you mean? It's just fresh grapes from the wilderness. Oh my God. I can't believe you gave me grapes.
Going into this, one of the things I came from Harvest Moon with was man, I wish the characters had more dialogue or interactions and stuff.
Yeah, and actually, gypsism is kind of what does it in Stardew.
Yeah, it does it. Well, and also, a thing that I really was appreciating this time I was playing it was, as you wander around throughout the day, you get all these little sort of tableaus of characters. Characters have sort of friendships or relationships, and, two people will hang out by the river together.
Yeah.
Or, be standing off, off to the side, chatting.
Yeah.
In ways that, imply that they have lives going on outside you.
And so do you, because I'm experiencing those things while I am frantically trying to micromanage my time and get to the store and the blacksmith before they all close. So I'm just running around River Road being like, eggs for everyone, just tossing eggs at these fuckers. And Alex and Shane are like, "Hell yeah, fucking love eggs."
You and I play this game very differently.
Just eggs, and I'm a whirlwind of eggs, flowers, and fruits.
I'm just
trying to get as many people up as possible. But I also remember that Alex liked a particular book, and I gave that book to him on his birthday in summer, which is I remember. So apparently I'm obsessed with this fucking person.
Why? What is it about him?
It's an attractive pair of pixels. Listen, all the, everyone in this game, I think the best thing about this game is that everyone's kind of shitty in their own ways.
Yeah, that's true. No, I like that about it also. There's a bit during the luau when you can find a couple of a few of the teenagers off to the side just hanging around, be like, "Man, I hate the luau every year. This sucks. Why do we have to come to this?"
Yeah, and then, Haley is just abhorrent to you. She's like, "Ew, you're ugly and fat."
And okay, awful. She is the actual worst.
She is the worst, but the moment you start giving her flowers, she starts to become more of a relatable queen. She's like, "I hate it out here. I don't like it. I want to be in the city." But fucking, I don't know that much more about her. But yeah, I'm really trying to push past that initial eco-friendly wood veneer of hostility characters have. It's so funny though, trying to do it. So there's Shane is also very notoriously "Why are you talking to me? Fuck off. I hate you, and I hate the way you look, and I hate where you came from." But the moment you get to two stars, he's like, "I'm miserable, and I don't think I'm nothing gonna amount to anything."
He's got a tough exterior concealing a fragile, vulnerable interior.
And a horrible case of alcoholism. But the moment that cutscene's over and you go back to talk to him the next day, he's like, "Why are you talking to me?" Well, that that kind of cheapened the whole experience I just had with you.
Did it cheapen it, or was it a realistic depiction of...
No, it's no one else is around. I don't know. No, I think it's... I think that's what I... That's another thing I do like about Alex's arc, is that, yes, he is a total, he's totally self-absorbed, but he does apologize for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Shane does yet. I'm sure he does yet. Oh, I'm working on it. I might pick this game up more as I'm running a bunch of things at work that I can't I'm having a heck of a time at work and it's very boring and I have to just sit and watch something run and make sure it doesn't break.
I was very surprised at how...
So Stardew is great for that.
I was also very surprised at how quickly the game got the one more day loop into me, where I just like, okay, I'll be put it down like 15
minutes.
It's
so manipulative.
And then like 60 minutes later, I'm like, I just need to do like, my blueberries are going to be like ready to go tomorrow and I want to get those in the box.
It's
and then...
kind of, I think it's kind of frustrating. I think that was very clever for 2016, but in this day and age, it's very frustrating. There are lots of roguelikes where you could, I mean... It's I'm also playing through Hades right now as a rogue, or Hades 2 right now, and like as a game that should have a similar system where it's just like, oh, just one more run. I feel way more at ease either just dying or stopping or accepting my progress, like without feeling like I'm losing too much, just because the way that the time, I guess, at which your day is going to end in the game like Hades is very different than Stardew Valley.
Well, and Stardew
Valley, like if I want to chill, there's two things at play here that kind of suck balls when it comes to making this game actually cozy and kind of it tips it to stressful for me. One is that if I want to do any of the quote cozy quote stuff like decorate or just chill out and explore, then I'm losing valuable fishing or mining or social time or like trying to find where people are, or like the stores aren't going to be fucking open at any given time. And honestly, here's what I did to combat that this time around. I went Joja.
You went Joja? Whoa.
Fuck the Junimos. Fuck their FOMO bullshit. Nobody uses the damn community center anyway. Here's the, Joja is open on Wednesday. What the fuck, Pierre? Wednesday?
Pierre's open on Sundays. I mean,
Pierre
like.
He also has a church in his house.
Okay, that bit's weird.
It's so weird. That whole family, I don't know. Maybe I'll learn more about them by way of Abigail, but like, or maybe I won't, because maybe I'll put this game down once I get one more. I looked though, and I saw that there were 14 heart events, so I might have to experience that with my one character. So I might learn more about the other ones in my time being, but like, that's the weird bit about it. But yeah, doing Joja Mart, don't let the rainbow rats guilt you. into doing there, you have to get everything before the time runs out. Ooh. And you have to fill this to get this little thing. Just like, listen, you're going to eventually get infinite money in this game. Let the Joja people fix the train for like 15 grand or whatever. You're going to get, it's like you're not locked out any functionality. You're just going to have to suffer the guilt of, you know, succumbing to the major corporation kind of destabilizing the local economy of this town, thus disrupting the lives of everyone and everything since your presence. And
which you are solely responsible for. It's you.
Honestly,
you did it.
We are the tipping point. And because these people have no agency in this matter whatsoever, I don't feel bad for them. Like, it feels like they willingly have no agency. They're just like, no. It's fine. They all wanted it too.
Does the Joja run feel as built out with like things going on as the other one? It's always felt like you're supposed to not pick it, which is like the
yeah
the
because
guilt
like
trip.
Then there's the Fisher guy guilts you, the mayor guilts you. Pierre is like, no, my shop, I can't compete with Joja prices. Well, I don't know. Be open Wednesday. I'm not asking for a whole lot. It's annoying. Sorry, you already closed at what, 3, 4? Oh, my lord. Frustrating. I think it's fine because I am no longer spending time worrying that I'm getting the very, like, I'm engaging more with the people of the town and less with the river to try and find that last fish for the fucking fish board.
I think this is very unintentionally revealing of both our personality types, I think, because like my approach to all this is just like, oh, I guess I just won't care then. I guess I'll just do whatever's available to me. And if it involves micromanaging my time to a degree that I'm not comfortable with, I just won't do it. And if I don't get the thing, then that sucks. But oh well.
I feel that way too. But then the game is giving me an option to mechanically reflect that. Like, oh, I don't have to care. Great. Cool. These dang FOMO rats. Exterminate them.
bulldozed. So has it gotten bulldozed in place of the warehouse yet?
No, yeah, the warehouse, it's weird. They paint over the exterior of the warehouse and have a bunch of boxes around it, but then you get inside and they didn't like redo the interior at all. They just put a bunch of boxes inside it.
In the community center?
Yeah, in the old community center, and there's like nothing happening in it. It's great. You have to waste time going up to the fucking community center. You don't have to waste an hour going up there and doing whatever the hell, only to find out you're missing one of the fruits, and you don't get the fruit rat blessing your fruit croppings. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Money is infinite. Why do these people use bullion?
Why do you get paid in gold coins? You're asking.
Why aren't we using why aren't we using credit or other fiat currency? Why is it bullion?
I mean, for that matter, the system by which I just drop a bunch of random shit in a box every day and it gets sold for me, like again, economic, not really an economic simulator, yeah. Between the box system and the fact that you don't need to eat food to stay alive.
Yeah, I will take this over Farming Simulator for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It would be nice if there were maybe a couple different places I could... Well, actually, there are a couple different places you could sell your stuff. You could go directly and sell your crops there and then... If you need the money now and then whatever, but...
Oh, you know what I actually wish this game had?
What?
Here's what they could like introduce like in a big update.
If this game doesn't have enough.
A survival mode. Like a mode that actually sort of like...
You have to eat.
Yes, you have to eat. Like you have to like figure out how to balance your farm and like manage your finances.
This game is stressful enough as it is. I don't know. Yeah, hardcore mode where if you pass out, you die.
Or at the very least, there are medical bills.
It's a roguelike. And then you pass your farm. There are medical bills. I passed out once when I had like 9,000. I lost 1,000 gold.
Oh, I guess I haven't passed out yet because
I just get
super tired and then walk all the way back across town super slowly.
I get greedy, which is the point. Sometimes, I don't know, if I push it a little. Or then I just get distracted. I'm like, it's like 1:30 on my farm. And then I notice that like there's a couple of torches I would like somewhere else. And then I pass out. Okay. So speaking of running around town, one of the things I also wanted to do was, and I was inspired by our friend Chanel, who is a total trash goblin. So I wanted to get as much trash out as I could, and I got super lucky, and I got the trash catalog.
Wait, the what?
The trash catalog.
What is this?
It's a catalog. You get all the trash furniture for free, so you can get like... The plastic end table outside of Pam's trailer with the plastic lawn chair. You can get that. You can get tires. You can get a broken down TV with a torn leather sofa to put in your house. And I made myself a nice trash paradise.
Man, I will say, I was kind of noticing.
I love my trash paradise.
For as much as this game really is at its core, just sort of like Harvest Moon and Rune Factory, it was interesting to me. Like one of the things that it has seemed to expand into over the course of its last 8 years is also being Animal Crossing. Is also being a furniture collection simulator.
Yeah. Even if playing with that furniture has a real cost of the time of day in a season. I think after a couple weeks of playing this, I realized that like any episode we do isn't going to fully do this game justice, because the more you get into this more that you put into this game, the more you get out. And Stardew Valley probably doesn't really start these days until you're like 3 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's like the greenhouse. There's so much to unlock and discover. There's layers and layers and layers and layers of the things added to this game because of the level of community support, which can, I think, be really intimidating because I might watch a streamer and be like, I don't know where all this lava is. I don't know what they're all doing. They have 1,000,000 gold and I'm just still struggling on my farm doing these kinds of things. And that could be a bit off-putting. But I think, I mean, now that I'm kind of at the end of summer, I'm like, oh, okay, I could, I see now that I really could get there. Things are starting to automate and feel automatic in a way that is finally a little bit allowing me to breathe and explore Pelican Town and do sorts of things. Try to talk to the wizard, see what he wants. Try to figure out what the heck the sewer nonsense is. Try to build up more relationships with people and things like that, and not just be in pure survival mode and just try to get chickens so I can make eggs so that I can get Alex's friendship up before the summer so that I can get all his beach cutscenes before he no longer goes onto the beach.
Oh, that's the clock. Okay. Yeah. I was like, why are you rushing this
clock
so hard?
Yeah. I don't want to have to wait a year because he can't. Anyway, You have to, like, and you, it's just the game. It's also a game that you have to have. I have to have the wiki open while I play.
Oh, no, I have the wiki up. I mean, part of this also is, like, yes, it would have been nice if we could have gotten to some of the new stuff, especially some of the new late game stuff. But, like, the core of this game is straightforward enough. And from what I've seen of my fiance doing, like, a good amount of more high level play, like, the core verbs don't really change that much, such that reading through the wiki and watching some YouTube videos and stuff, I was like, okay, I have a grasp on how most of this higher level stuff works.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a couple of conveniences and interesting tidbits of the later updates or that have come through, trickled their way through, that I noticed. The primary two, there's a couple of, you know, there's more flavor text for certain gifts. Elliot says, oh, you've been beachcombing, if you give him a shell, which I do because I don't care about him that much. I know he doesn't like it, but I'm like, whatever, you're here. You're here, and here's a clam. Just pick up a clam and huck it at him. And then there's the prize ticket system where that actually gives you a couple more incentives to bother doing the quests around town beyond the bonding. I feel like the extra bit of reward gold that you get and the bonding that you get with the villager isn't really worth disrupting your routine for it, because eventually you're going to max everyone out anyway at some point due to sheer boredom. And eventually you're going to have a critical mass of money that you're not going to know how to spend. Just like Cookie Clicker. This game is pretty much Cookie Clicker.
I mean, it's the problem with all these games, right? Is at a certain point, like, if there's not a real sort of like friction or a real sort of system like drawing on you and making you balance against it, you just end up with infinite money and like and stuff becomes trivial.
Yeah, that's where the time comes in and the calendar system comes in to introduce that friction for a time being, but that will eventually go away, and eventually it's just vibes, which I'm assuming is how Chanel got to where she was. Twitch.tv/CoderGirlChan, that's where she's at. You should follow her. She does Stardew every Sunday, one of the S days. I don't remember days very well, turns out, apart from Alex's birthday, which is summer 13. Do you have anything else you want to say about your playthrough or your experience playing Stardew Valley in 2024 after the 1.6 update?
No, just that, like, in my head, Stardew Valley had almost kind of skewed the direction of being overly complicated. And maybe that is true when you get again to the higher level stuff. Certainly, like, you know, you add a lot more areas and a lot more things you can do, resource types, etc. But in this right now, this actually kind of is, I think, exactly what I want in terms of, like, there's just enough variety of, like, the stuff with going on with different people and different relationships and stuff that they do, but it's not too overwhelming. It's not like a big social link system. There's enough going on with crop variety, but not so much that you need to manage, like, micromanage stuff. I don't know. This kind of really hit the spot for me.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad. I'm really glad to hear that. I don't know how long I'll be keep playing this, especially because we've got games coming up that we're going to be playing for next month. So we're going to spend time at the B segment kind of taking you along for the journey with us as we discuss and argue for games we are going to play for the month of June. So I'm going to go put my laundry in the dryer, and then we will be right back with a word from our sponsors.
We're going to read some ads.
How often do you look at your network speeds and you just go, man, this is going way too fast?
I would say about 80 seconds per hour.
Then I would say you definitely need to look at SlowVPN. SlowVPN is a VPN service that deliberately throttles your upload and download speeds, providing you with a significantly reduced capacity for receiving and sending data.
That would be great, because the fidelity of my streams has just been way too high, and it's hard for me to enjoy my horrifying, gory horror films with all that fidelity. It feels like they're being murdered right in front of me. I don't want that.
Right. Aren't you nostalgic for the era in which, like, you know, download speeds meant that anything particularly complex or violent or gory was a blurry mass of pixels that was difficult to distinguish?
I'm so nostalgic. I got scan lines tattooed into my retinas.
So We don't have time to talk about that right now.
Great. I wasn't inviting discussion. Go on.
And just how often do you download a 16 gigabyte file only to realize, oh shit, I don't have enough space on my hard drive. Wouldn't it be better if that download took 2.5 hours so you could reorganize all of your files and create enough space and capacity?
That's happened to me twice today.
And SlowVPN routes your traffic through any number of foreign countries, meaning that you can get slower download speeds from Finland, Norway, Denmark.
What about Azerbaijan?
Yes, they even have Azerbaijan.
Do they have Togo?
I don't know if they have Togo.
Do they have the Maldives?
I believe both those are on the short list for addition next year.
Do they have Antigua and Barbuda?
They have Antigua, but not Barbuda.
That's impossible. That's the same country.
They have a station on one island, but not the other.
Oh, okay.
If you found yourself just head in your hands because of the blazing fast speeds that your internet provider like Comcast or Spectrum provides to you, then sign up for SlowVPN today in order to get all of your traffic downgraded.
That's going to save me so much scalp acne. I hate having my head in my hands.
It solves a billion problems, right? Like, we've talked through a half dozen different applications for slow internet speeds right here. So go to slowvpn.net, promo code STORMBUDS, and you can get an extra 5 megabytes a second chopped off your internet speed for the same price.
Do they accept bullion?
I believe if you email it in a registered postal package, they will accept a solid gold as payment.
Okay.
Or cryptocurrency, but not regular cash.
I will email my solid gold to that site right now.
Gold or cryptocurrency, no fiat.
No fiat. Great. Good. I DeFi'd my life recently, so.
Then you're all good to go with SlowVPN.
I can wait.
End of ad.
We are back. Well, I'm back.
I'm back.
I'm back from doing, because we record these in my house, so I went and switched the laundry over. It took a little while. I don't know if you were curious about that experience.
No, during this time, I just sat here and stared at the wall.
Okay, well, if you didn't, yeah, it was really difficult because there weren't really any machines open. I'm pretty sure Gaius Van Belsar was doing his reds.
Was that all the clanking up and down the hall? Was that his armor?
Well, I mean, yeah, the thing is that he does have to take up one machine per limb of that armor suit, and it does have like a
locks up the whole laundry room.
It locks up the whole laundry
entire
room,
evening,
and usually one of the machines does not make it out.
How often a week is he doing laundry?
He's really only in town for maybe a month out of the year because of all the military bases.
Okay, but this year it's May. He's in town for this month.
Yeah, it's May. He can't wait to get out because he does not like June.
Why doesn't he like June? What's the implication there?
You think I was going to ask?
This is a call out post for Gaius Van Belsar.
I wasn't going to ask. I didn't want to put myself in danger.
You know,
all he said was, I don't like June.
I'm sure it's because it's the first muggy month where the mosquitoes come out.
Well, you know, I think it's because perhaps he has some lingering resentment towards a certain ex-scion of the Seventh Dawn, Secretary Tataru Taru, who is, of course, as we all know, the capitalist mastermind behind the month of Pride. She is, of course, at Stormbuds. If you remember, we did have a lovely episode, our first year of recording, wherein we talked about Tataru hoeing it up for Pride in Ishgard, because she is our queer icon.
She is the best.
And as such, we are going to be playing games in the month of June in her honor and her corporate sponsorship honor to celebrate the month of Pride, because Pride is all about what?
Pride.
Giving queer dollars to mega corporations.
Yes, it is that.
It's what it's all about, and it's what's going to keep happening, and it's what you're going to see at your Pride Parade festivals. Don't think about the horrible things in the world that are happening right now. Support McDonald's.
I did not expect this angle, but sure.
I'm pissed.
Yeah?
And
are we going to talk about it next month?
No, we're going to do a bit where we worship Tataru as a capitalist overlord.
We worship Tataru as a capitalist overlord.
Who is overtaking Pride. And you're all going to join us by playing and supporting queer games.
I love to give Tataru my money.
We are going to do that. And one of the games we're going to play this month, I'm going to get this right out of the way. We got June 23rd penciled in for our Revisiting Eorzea month, because we do have our... we do have an epilogue chapter for Final Fantasy XIV, Tataru's, I think, Grand Endeavor or something, adventure. I'm not kidding. It's pretty fun. We're going to do it and talk about it on the 23rd of June.
Sounds good to me.
Tataru's Pride Month. Hail Tataru.
I am always down for more Tataru time.
And I am always down to give Tataru more of my money.
Or TT, as we call it in the group chat.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And that group chat is our Discord. You can find the link in the description of the episode. And we will... We should put up like a poll or something.
Probably
do a little bit more of that. Maybe we'll put up a poll for one of these weeks. Maybe the last week. Maybe we'll leave the last week. Okay. The last week of June. I got it. Last week of June, we're going to have three options. We're going to pick three. And then in the Discord... we're going to have a running poll. I got the MeSeeks bot going. I got the bot going. We could do a poll. And you guys, the buds, will vote on the game we will play. That game will be decided probably by either next episode or the episode after next. And I'm begging, let me remind you, one vote will have a lot of power.
It will.
Please.
Oh,
please help us.
You have so much influence on this poll
if you want to. So please join the Discord. Cast that vote as soon as you hear this episode and get the momentum going. People will follow you, whoever votes first. But for the other 3 weeks of June, this, holy cow, June is big. June has 5 months.
Five weeks, which leaves us with four slots still, because we have... are we doing a whole episode for Tataru's Grand Endeavor, and so we got four slots to fill?
Yes. And so we'll have our fan vote, community pride vote for the tail end of the parade, and then 3 weeks. So we're gonna for sure make we're gonna be playing, unless some changes happen, three games from a pool of queer games that we have deemed as queer in our ways, you know, for the sake of celebrating
I understand.
He's an ally.
Yeah. Yes. I understand all of these except one of them, which I'm curious.
Are you okay? Do you want to talk about Bugsnax?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a queer game.
It is.
I googled it. I don't know anything about it, and I was like, I'm going to put Bugsnax in the pool.
I also have not played Bugsnax. I'm very confused.
Apparently.
I mean, do we want to read through the list here? Just kind of tell like the whole list, what we're kind of our big old list of stuff?
Well, yes, we've got for a list of candidates, we've got Gone Home, Night in the Woods, Celeste, Unpacking, Life is Strange 2, True Colors. Sorry, there's a slash in there. Bugsnax, Dream Daddy, Jusant, Hades 2 Early Access. Fair enough. Milky Way Prince Content Warnings. I don't know about that one. Signalis. Ooh. And I Was a Teenage Exocultist. Okay. That's the list we have so far. Mm-hmm. I will say maybe we should offer a space for a write-in candidate for the poll. Because,
yeah.
Again,
so can surprise us.
One vote. Lots of power. Like if you want to see us play something, you can talk to us about it. You can always ask us if we want to do it. And we might. We might not. It's my show. But, you know, I listen.
Yeah, I think we'd have an open option.
Yeah, for sure. So you have a couple bolded here, and I have, of those bolded ones, some that are favorites that I'm interested in. I want to talk about, I'm already playing Hades 2 Early Access.
Yes.
I'm about 7 hours in. We probably could do an episode on it next week very easily.
Yes, I would be down for that. Like, the only thing I'm thinking there is, at some point... either with the early access version or possibly when it comes out, I think it would make sense to do a super giant month in which we revisit their earlier titles and then do Hades 2 as like the culmination of that. But like,
maybe
that'd be like next spring at the current roadmap for stuff.
Maybe. So, yeah. We shall see. If I want to do an entire month of a publisher, if that publisher wants to be super giant, we'll talk about it. So I think that's a candidate, not penciling anything, but we're going to put Hades as a possible yes in this row. Let's talk about Gone Home. Have you played Gone Home?
I have, yes.
It's been a long time for probably both of us.
Here's the thing. Maybe that one should be bold because, like, it's so short and it is relatively thin, but it is such a historical artifact.
Yeah.
That, like, going back and kind of looking at that 10 years later could be really interesting.
It could be really interesting. And then we could do some deep dives into some of the controversy surrounding that game at mm-hmm. the time.
Which, in hindsight, is bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers.
Gone Home does exist within the continuity of history that leads up to the Gamergate hate campaign.
100%. And that would be interesting for us to talk about as people who were adults at the time.
Yeah.
But young adults and still very immersed in immersed in friend groups and having friends, mutual friends of ours probably, that were on the other side of the fence of the Gamergate.
Yes.
So that could be really interesting to talk about. But it is such a short game. I want to propose that maybe it's one of two.
If we paired it up with something else that was short, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we could pair it up. I'm going to put it in on the 9th for now with a plus sign. Night in the Woods. Have you played Night in the Woods?
I have. I don't know that I want to do it. I have really complicated feelings about that game.
Okay, I have not. But okay. It's been recommended to me. But, I mean, complicated feelings do make a good episode, but if you don't want to revisit it, you don't want to revisit it. And I'm fine respecting that.
I don't think I do. I think move on from that one.
Get out of here. You stink, Night in the Woods. Official Storebud stance. Boo.
It doesn't stink. I find the protagonist of that game unlikable in ways that I have kind of like hard times grappling with sometimes.
Okay, the next in the list is Celeste. I do not want to play Celeste.
Really?
I just played through Animal Well. I'm done with platforming for a hot second.
Okay, okay, okay. Celeste is one of my favorites coming into this, but okay. Okay.
Celeste is great. I played it. I enjoyed it. I did the main story, and then I let it go.
Okay, we can take Celeste off of here.
Sorry, Celeste. Fantastic game, trans rights. Moving on, Unpacking.
Why is this on here?
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
It's good. It's cozy. It's just as long as Gone Home. Similar trajectory.
We could pair Unpacking and Gone Home. That could be like an interesting idea.
I would be down to revisit it. We could do it together as well. It's really quick. Mm-hmm. It's a really quick game. We could do it together.
On stream or something? Yeah.
It could be a one-time deal. Possible. It's a possible 6-9 thing. So now we can do Life is Strange 2/True Colors. You played this, right?
I have not played all of True Colors. I played like...
Oh, or True Colors. Which one? Yeah.
Oh, I've not played 2.
Okay.
I have not played 2. I played like the first 5 hours of True Colors. If we did this, I would want to do it as like the end of month game so that we had time to play the entire thing. I would not want to do just like the beginning of that as well. That would be one that I'd put in the poll.
Yeah, I would want time to do that. I've not played either, so we're going to put that in the poll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so.
Great. Bugsnax.
Bugsnax is very funny. Does it actually belong here?
I think it does.
Okay, okay.
I don't know, though. I'm willing to believe the internet. I'm willing to believe them. And if it's not queer, then Tataru will fine us. She is going to garnish our wages. You know, I will sign that contract that my wages will be garnished by Overlord Tataru if Bugsnax does not have an ounce of queerness in it. But I don't know, turning into a little strawberry bug sounds pretty gay to me.
I guess I get I can't make the joke I was thinking of.
You sure can't. You sit there and you take, just keep that to yourself. This is not your month. So I'm gonna pencil that in. I'm gonna pencil that in for a potential for the 16th. Great. I'm glad we already have a bunch of options. I put Dream Daddy in because I kind of want to rip into it.
Okay.
Because
that could also be fun.
I'm like, this. But I have my issues with it maybe in the same way. I don't know if it's in the same way you have issues with Night in the Woods.
But like
complicated feelings about it.
I have heard that Dream Daddy is more than a gag, and I believe that. But it can be more than a gag and still, like, what it's doing can be...
Maybe my opinion on it. Well, I'm curious to revisit it, but I'm not super stoked about it. And we have other options.
I'll leave that one up to you.
I'm going to pass on it for now, but I'm not going to delete it from the list. You don't stink yet. You don't have to get out of here, but I'm not putting you on the calendar until we talk about Jusant.
What's Jusant again?
Jusant, J-U-S-A-N-T, so maybe it's Jusant, is a brand new action puzzle climbing game and a meditative journey to the top of a tall tower. Challenge yourself at your own pace. Explore different I don't know. I think the main character is non-binary.
Okay.
Which is why I put it in here. And the
it looks cool.
Yeah. The response is very, very positive. I heard about it from Kirk Hamilton at Triple Kick Podcast because I am a super fan of that, as you guys know. One day, Triple Clickers, you'll get on the buds. We'll get you. Shire! All right. Anyway, Jusant can be... I want to put that somewhere either in the poll or... We could also put Bugsnax in the poll if you don't trust it.
Sure.
We don't have to commit to Bugsnax. Because we don't know about that one.
Let's put Bugsnax in the poll.
I'm certain about Jusant, so maybe that could be our 16th. Okay, that's fun. What the fuck is Milky Way Prince? Is it about cum?
No. Milky Way Prince is a visual novel.
Is it about ending one's own life?
I don't think so either. Milky Way Prince is a visual novel. It is about two men in a romantic relationship. It is also explicitly described as being about sort of an abusive relationship.
Ooh.
And so, like, I have heard that it is good. It has an eye-catching kind of art style. It's been on my radar to check out for a while, but it is also, like, potentially kind of, like, complex subject matter to get into.
Abusive relationship, idealization, and intimacy. Live a summer of dysfunctional love through branching storylines, twists. I'm gonna get so mad at this game. I don't know. Maybe we'll revisit it at some other point in the future. I don't know. Why don't we put it? We can also put it in the poll.
It does not need to be in here for now.
I have Signalis on my wish list. But I didn't know it was queer in any way. Do you know what that's all about? Is it maybe developed by?
Yes, you play as a woman, and you are in pursuit of rescuing your girlfriend.
Hell yeah!
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah! That's going straight on the pole.
Yeah, it's like sci-fi survival horror. I think is like the best way to describe the genre.
Yeah, no, it looks dope, and it could be a super nice change of pace from the rest of the games we're playing, that are, you know, quote unquote cozy, and Hades too. Okay, cool. That just leaves I was a teenage exocolonist. I think I said colonist last time.
Yeah, you did say colonist. I was very confused.
Which was kind of funny, but I did not mean... I was like, wait, no, that doesn't work. Tell me about this game.
I don't know much about it other than that people I trust praise the writing fairly highly. And it is about sort of like a cast of... young teen characters of what you might describe as kind of a queer friend group with the possibility for various queer romances.
Why are there so many bars?
I don't know what's going on.
What kind of game is this? Spend your teenage years on an alien planet with a narrative RPG with card-based battles. Explore, grow up, fall in love. That sounds like both of our jams.
And like, look at this cast.
It's like gay Bellatro. I mean, I was looking at it here too. Yeah. That's colorful. That's a lot of colorful. That could be something we should probably use our platform to elevate. Okay. I am interested in so when did this game come out? 2022? That's much more recent. I am very interested in getting out of the previous decade. As much as Gone Home and Unpacking would be fun games to talk about, I think I'm more interested and compelled to talk about this new experience. I was a teenage exocolonist for the week afterwards. I don't know how long this is, but like, I know that sounds like both of our jams. So
like I said, I've heard good stuff about it.
Okay. Well, that is gonna, so we can do, and then our third game. Okay. So we have three games. So we got to pick Life is Strange two or True Colors.
I think True Colors is more gay.
Is True Colors the one that's the prequel?
No. True Colors is the one where you have empathy powers.
Okay.
Before the Storm is the prequel that gets more explicitly...
With
Chloe, like, and stuff.
I don't think I could handle that. Because we all know how that turns out. If we played Life is Strange 1. So you did True Colors?
I would say True Colors.
Okay.
Well, my other thought here is this. How wedded are you to Jusant being a definite?
Not. Because it could be in the poll.
Could we swap Signalis and Jusant? Because I really want to check out Signalis.
Okay. Jusant could be in the poll. Cool. All right. So, thanks so much for joining us on this. Not a segment. It's just a quick chat. So, I didn't bother to come up with a Final Fantasy 14 pun for it. Sorry. Sorry about it. But we have game candidates for Totaru's Pride Month. Well, fuck, I guess I did. Never mind. Not sorry. I take my apology back. So we have for the 2nd of June, unless plans change, and if you want to know if the plans are going to change, you can join our Discord. I've already told you where the link is. Just click it. Just click it. Hades 2 on the 2nd of June. We're probably already several hours into it already, so that'll be easy. 6-9. Nice. We are playing I Was a Teenage Exocolonist.
We're just calling it that constantly now.
I mean, you don't have to. 6-16, Signalis. That's the scary times. Ooh, scary gaze. 6-23, we are revisiting Eorzea for Tataru's, what's it called? Grand Adventure. I guess I'll look at it. Tataru's Grand Endeavor. See, it is Endeavor.
It is, okay.
That's a funnier word.
Man, what's she up to?
We'll find out. So on the 30th, we're going to have our poll in our Discord. We're going to put three games plus a write-in candidate. First game, Life is Strange, True Colors. Second game, Bug Snacks. And third game, Jusant. Excited to check out any of the three of those, and then we can shelve the other two for the following Tataru's Pride Month. You know, knock on wood. That's me knocking on wood. It's probably scared by cat. Sorry. And that's going to be it for our discussion of what we're going to do for June. Yeah, we have a basic roadmap till the end of the year. Really excited to keep on keeping on. And thank you guys so much for keeping on with us. If you enjoyed listening to this episode of Storm Buds, you can show your support without any money whatsoever by liking the podcast, reviewing it, sharing it with your buds. Become buds of buds, and engaging with us on our social media platforms. Alex is on that blue sky nonstop.
I am posting.
He's on it
constantly.
Right now.
I actually haven't stopped posting. I got into an argument about politics earlier this week, and I was like, uninstalling the app for a few days.
Oh, no. And, of course, we have our Discord, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm consolidating my content creation. Here's what's happening.
Big announcement.
Here's what's happening.
World premiere.
If you want to get notified about when our Twitch channel, StormBuds Live, twitch.tv/StormBudsLive, will be live, you can join our Discord or you can follow us at twitch.tv/StormBudsLive. We will be scheduling. We're going to figure out a regular day, maybe every other week to, you know, like our old format, every other week to do a stream and hang out with you guys because we like chatting with you. We like it. We like it very much. And we miss you. We haven't done something like that since we did our in-game... since the Heavens Awards, really. Well, I guess we did stream ng.drive, but that was still kind of off the cuff.
It's been kind of intermittent and irregular for now.
We're doing that now, and we're gonna stream together a little bit. Or maybe I'll just pop on there to chat and do some Final Fantasy XIV stuff once in a while. Do the Island Sanctuary. Make fun of Alex's Island Sanctuary. We'll get back to you on that. But you can support us in all those sorts of ways. And you can find our YouTube channel. We'll post clips on our YouTube channel. I got a good formula for that now as well. So that's really fun. And that would be a huge deal. Every voice matters. And we love to hear from you. So join our Discord. Go vote in that gay poll. You don't have to be gay. But... You too. It would be really.
If you aren't, your votes only count half as much, but you still should
That's
vote.
That's true. Okay, we can't. We did do that compromise, in your favor. So I think without further ado, I've been Jerome Barbatsis, your host of Light, and this was my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodbye, Alexander Hambrock.
Goodbye.
I forgot the tagline, so born of buds. Fuck the tagline. Fuck it.
It's our podcast.
I like what I just did. I made that up just now, and I'm going to start doing it.
Okay.
That sounded pretty good.
It sounded pretty good.
All right. Bye.
Bye.